Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Eric Lingvall. Eric is an award-winning acting coach and founder of Catapult Acting Studios in Atlanta. He teaches weekly classes as well as private audition coaching and videotaping sessions in his studio. Eric also produces local seminars, workshops, and summer camps. Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So can you describe your approach to acting? You know, there's so many different ways to teach acting, and I'm always curious about the differences between teachers and techniques.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing that I try to focus on with my actors is being truthful, being authentic, finding a way to let go of their fear, let go of expectations, let go of any sort of preconceived notions they have when they come into the situation, and just being in the moment, I think for me is that's the most important part. If they can stand there and they can be truthful, they can be honest, we're already ahead of 90% of the actors that I see come into my room. And always explaining to them that it's not about trying to do anything. It's never about, I always say, try less, be more. And so just being in that moment and being truthful in that moment, if you can do that, that for me, that's the core. Now, of course, that's just a part of it. Then at some point, you know, we don't go to the movies and say, oh, she was really truthful. Now, you know, we need more than that, but that's a really good start. Then, of course, we focus on, you know, their objective and where they're coming from and why they want what they want and who they're talking to and creating a compelling character, right? You know, that's key. But I think for me, it's just so much – I look at what I do. I always say to people, I'm an acting coach, but I'm really more of a human coach.
I like
right?
that. It's true.
Yeah, because these are human beings, and it's so funny. I'll be working a script with someone, and it's tricky too, because with me, sometimes I have actors I've never met, and they come in to do a coaching taping. So nowadays, you know, taped auditions, I would say in my market, in the Atlanta market, 95% of the auditions are taped. 95%.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. So with that said, when you're thinking about a taped audition, a client might come in, they'll book a session with me, and I've never met them in my life. The client comes in, I've never met them in my life, and when they come into my room, sometimes I've got to teach them how to act in addition to creating a product that we're going to eventually send to a casting director that might make a decision that could change the trajectory of this actor's life forever. And I've got 1 hour, you know? So so often when you're working with young actors, like, so obviously I work with a lot of young actors. When a young actor comes in, much of the time they're a little robotic, right? They're just not being truthful. So I'll say to them, I'll say, okay, you know, all right, Jimmy, let's just pretend like you're a human and I'm a human. And when I say that to them, it sounds kind of funny, but it's so true.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
let's just be two humans having a conversation. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen casting directors when we produce a lot of workshops with Catapult. And when we do these workshops, the casting director will watch an actor. And then the casting director will say, you know what? Don't do anything. Just read the lines.
Yep. Yep. Like Mamet.
Absolutely. Yep. I know. Well, right. And I know De Niro talks about that a lot. How it's so about just doing less. Right. And now I know it's always tricky though, too. Right. I mean, we don't want you to be a dud up there. Right.
No.
We want you to be compelling, but that compelling should come from the inside.
The way I always looked at it was like, you know, the light It's like an actor shines a light through a gel, and the light is your soul. It's your spirit. You're shining that through, and the gel is the character, you know, and it colors whatever the light is, but it's still always your spirit shining through that, you know, and you want to illuminate the role, you know, by shining yourself through it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, you know, but you don't need to pile a bunch of crap on, because if you do, I mean, just to kind of push the metaphor a little bit, you make it opaque and you block the light.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. And I think what you said is really important too. You know, a lot of times you'll hear actors say, well, you know, you have to become the character. And I've never really agreed with that, because, and I forget who I was in a workshop with an instructor at one point, and I remember this always stood out to me though. And he said, you know, you have to remember these characters, they're not real. Right? They're fake. So how in the world are you going to become a character that's not real? He said, if anything's going to happen, the character is going to become a part of you.
Yeah.
And then you're going to find a way, you're going to find a way through who you are to connect that with this character and then create something. But in all actuality, it's a part of you. It's some part of you. It's you know, we've all felt these different emotions. And then it's just figuring out, how do I connect that with the situation at hand? So, you know, I guess to kind of bring it all the way back around, I break down acting. For me, I break down acting into three parts. And it's number one, letting go. And I touched on that a little, you know, letting go of your fears, your worries, your expectations, letting go of booking the job. One of my favorite little videos that's out there right now is that that short little video with Bryan Cranston, where he talks about your job is not to book the job. And he talks about how he had that epiphany at one point, and he realized it's not about that. And once he realized that, he let go of that. It's like he found that light, right? So number one, letting go. Number two is owning the moment. And this is something I work on a lot with my actors, owning the moment, which obviously first, in order to own the moment, you've got to be in the moment. But owning that moment is taking that ownership of that room. One of my favorite things I heard from a casting director was, when I meet an actor, I want to be able to look at them and ask them, do you think you're the best one for this part? And I want them to be able to say yes. Mm-hmm. And he said, so often actors, they worry about, well, you know, I want to feel like I have this ego or whatever it is. But the reality is, you have to feel like you're the best. You have to own that room. You have to own that moment. Because if you don't, I remember him saying, can you go find me the guy that is?
And bring him in the room?
Because I'm looking for the guy that thinks he's the best. Because this movie costs $150 million.
Oh my God, I love that.
Right?
And, so true.
And you know, a friend of mine, my friend Stephen Memel, he's a phenomenal vocal coach in LA. He works with Adam Levine and Sarah Bareilles and some really amazing people. And he said, a great way to look at it is this. When you stand on a stage or you get in front of a camera, he said, you have to believe you're the best one for that at that time. But he said, a great way to think about it is that you are also no more valuable than anybody else.
I love that.
Right?
So
and
true.
I love that mentality, because it's a great way of saying, okay, I am the best at this, but it doesn't mean I'm any more important than you or the next guy or the next guy. Because guess what? If that sound guy doesn't do his job and that mic doesn't work, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody
right.
Can hear you. You know? So everyone has their value, but you, I think believing, and so owning that moment. So, you know, letting go, owning the moment, and then the third part is connecting.
Mm-hmm.
And really connecting with the other actor, with the moment, connecting with where you are, with what's happening. I mean, the kinesthetics of it, all those elements. And I think when you put those three pieces together, letting go, owning the moment, and connecting, that's when you can see the magic happen, right? And then there's so many other parts of that, being vulnerable, vulnerability. I love the fact that, because I work with young actors, half the time they've never even – they don't even know the definition of vulnerability.
That's so – wow.
Right? And so I always tell them to go and watch Brené Brown, right? It's like, you know.
Who's fabulous.
Like, amazing, right? And being vulnerable, and I talked to them about how when they show these parts of them that aren't so pretty, that's when we, the audience, connect.
And you know, fall in love with them, yeah.
Sure, because we're like, oh, you have problems like me.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you're crazy like me. Oh, you're heartbroken, or you're this, or you're that. And then we connect with them. And so, you know, all those pieces. And what I find so funny about it is all this stuff that we talk about in the acting room, it's really life stuff. It just works in the acting room too. So, you know, for me, I took a very sort of random path to this current place I'm at now. I didn't take a standard route, if you will. And I just kind of learned about what works in front of the camera through experience working with actors, but also through life stuff, you know? And that I think is what's so cool, is that these philosophies that we apply in the acting room, and specifically with Catapult, because we really do have the same sort of mentality amongst all the instructors. That's an important part to me, that these instructors understand that first and foremost, we're dealing with people, right? And so we want to make sure we create better people, not just better performers. And that's really important, especially with young people. And so what I know is, statistically speaking, I mean, I work with great actors, right? Lots of really good actors, and still maybe 10% are going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? I mean, yeah. You know.
It's just the odds. It's just the
right
numbers, yeah.
So if I know only 10%, and if my whole goal is to create successful actors, well, then I'm going to fail. So I don't want to just do that. I want to say, okay, well, how can I achieve success? Well, the way I can achieve success is my why, right? I'm actually rereading Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
I love that book.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, right? And it's all so simple, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these books, it's like, oh yeah.
But you forget.
Right, you do. And in thinking about that, your why. And I was really trying to assess that with Catapult. You know, what's our why? And as I think about what we do when we work with these actors, I always tell my actors, you know, we all have a gift. Everyone's got their gift, right? And I think it's our duty, our obligation as human beings, as long as we're on this earth, to share that gift with as many people as possible. So then, in tying that back into what we do, well, I think what our gift at Catapult is helping others find theirs.
I love that.
Yeah, and that for me is so cool, because that's what we do. We help them find their gift. And so for some of them, that gift may be acting, it may be directing, it may be writing, they may be a politician, they may be, hopefully, so we can have, we won't get
we don't
into
have
that.
To go there, no.
But you know what I mean? So they can find that gift, that something that really says, oh yeah, that fills that part of me. And then they can take that gift and share that gift. And if we can help facilitate that process, I think for me, that's why we do what we do. So, there you go.
That's your acting class, or that's your acting approach. This ties beautifully into my next question. You know, what do you do in your classes, per se? I mean, you've described your whole, you know, philosophical approach just now, but when you break it down into like reality and execution, what does that look like in your classes?
Yeah, so most of my classes, personally, the actors I work are more on a professional path. So most of these actors, but like I said, still many of them will do other things. But most of these actors are, like, I would say 90% of the actors I work with have representation, are auditioning on a consistent basis. Many of them are working actors in TV and film. And so the first thing I would say is I have a very no-nonsense approach. I do not sugarcoat. I have found that it never helps anyone to tell somebody they did a good job if they didn't.
Agreed.
Now, I always do want to make sure, though, you know, when I'm talking to a parent and I explain this to them, that I have a no-nonsense approach in my classes, I also know that these are kids or they're just human beings in general. And so I do want to nurture them. So it's sort of finding that balance, right, between nurturing and pushing. Mm-hmm. And when we do our acting classes, a good example of something we might do is, so for instance, what we're working on right now in my class is we're establishing what is your type and how can you figure out that character that if somebody looked at you, they would say, I could see you playing that character. And then what we're actually doing is we're writing scripts for these actors based around those characters so they can learn how to maximize the potential of that character. And then we'll work that script in class. We put our actors in front of the camera a lot.
I love that. That's good.
And yeah, and because one of the things I found was, I thought it was really interesting, I would meet actors and they would come into our classes and I would put them in front of a camera and it was like they, it was like suddenly, it was like they, there was a firing squad.
Oh no.
And it was so intriguing to me though, because I'd say to them, I'd say, you know, you've taken acting classes. Yeah. And I said, well, I said, I'm looking here at your resume and it says you took 6 months of a quote unquote on camera class. But you've never been in front of a, you've never been on camera. And so that to me, I found that was really beneficial, just putting the kids in front of the camera. Now, not for the sake of saying, hey, we're going to create this thing that you're going to have forever, but just to get in front of the camera, because it's just like anything. Every time you get in front of the camera, you get more comfortable in front of a camera.
Exactly. And then you walk into an audition room and there's a camera on you and you just don't even think twice about it. You're just completely comfortable.
Yeah. You're like, I've been doing this every week. So we put the kids on in front of the camera a lot. We work a lot with scenes, a lot of scene work. But also, too, when I talked about, you know, my philosophy, we apply that stuff. So, like, for instance, my first step of acting, I say you've got to let go. We actually, you know, some people will say it's almost like acting slash therapy, right? Because we'll do exercises. Like I have this whole letting go exercise that we do. And the kids, if they've got something, you know, for instance, a lot of the kids are bullied, right? And that's a big thing for me. That's I've had so many of my students, these brilliant, amazing kids that get bullied and picked on, and it's mind-blowing because I'm like, these kids are amazing. And so we'll do an exercise where they actually get in front of the camera and they stand there in front of the class with the camera on them, with everyone watching them on a 50-inch monitor, and they let go of these things. So they'll stand there, they'll state their name, they'll take a deep breath, and then I'll have them say something along the lines of, okay, just repeat after me right here and right now. I'm open. I'm vulnerable. They'll say this. I'll have them stand actually with their hands up, right? So they're not crossing their arms. So they're really open to the group. And they will talk about the things they're letting go of. I let go of this guy who bullies me. I let go of being picked on. I let go of my friends saying I can't do this. I let go of this or that, or I let go of sometimes it's crazy stuff. Like, you know, I'll have teens that say I let go of my eating disorder. You know, I let go of feeling like I have to be something I'm not. And I'm telling you, some of those classes are the coolest thing in the world. You have these kids and you know, I have actually, as I sit here saying, I'm getting the chills because I was thinking about this one email I got from a mom and she said, I just wanted to let you know, so-and-so had her daughter, referring to her daughter. She's really loved the class, but more importantly, I feel like I finally have my confident kid back. And I haven't seen this kid in 2 years.
That's incredible.
I mean, that to me, that
what else do you want? Yeah, exactly. It's extraordinary.
If that's the only thing that happened. And so to me, that's the coolest part of this job. And so, you know, I know that these kids come into the classes to get better at acting and what have you. But when we can have breakthroughs like that, you can't even put a value on that because it's just
no,
so
stays with you all of your life, you know? It's much bigger than an acting class. Well, so just to differentiate a little more, so classes, but how does this differ from what the kids get in your summer camp at Camp Catapult? That's a different deal, right?
Yeah, Camp Catapult is really cool. So Camp Catapult, we did a summer camp, and then the summer camp was so popular, we're like, why don't we do a camp in the winter? And we announced the camp about 8 weeks out, and in 2.5 weeks, it sold out. and it was crazy. And we said, you know, obviously we're on to something good here. But what's so cool about this camp is that, first of all, it's an audition intensive. So we call it Camp Catapult, the audition comprehensive is what it is. So it's a 5-day camp that is specifically focused on auditioning for the camera. And it's 6 hours a day. And at that camp, I'd say the biggest difference with the camp, you've got more students. So there's about 20, I think there's 22 students we max out at in the camp.
That's still really intimate.
It's still pretty intimate. And that is a one thing that I have always made sure that we have a focus on our events feeling like they are still, even if there's 20 kids, you are an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so often in this industry, you feel more like a number than a human.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, you know, the audition process. I mean, you're basically a commodity.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things everybody has to come to terms with. And it's... It's hard. It makes you feel like an object. It's objectifying, literally.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because literally, at the end of the day, it's you're too tall. You don't fit this. And if we hire this person, we will probably make 25% more. You know, on it's just crazy.
On foreign box office.
On foreign box office. Right. Yeah. This person has a strong following in Taiwan. So in turn, you're like,
they're getting the job. No, it's so true. Even if they're like not as talented as you are, and you know it. You know, it's just that is how it works.
Yeah. So in our classes, we do really try to make sure we learn about the actors prior to the camp. We try to learn as much as we can about the kids. So when they come in, like we have them send their pictures and stuff before the camp. One of the coolest things too is so they'll come into the camp and I'll see a kid who's never met me before. And a lot of times these kids will fly in from Florida and come in from other places for the camp. And I'll look at them and I'll go, Luke, right? And the kid will look at me and go, yeah. And I'll go, hey, I'm Eric. And I'll talk to him. And I think about it, for that kid, he's like, whoa, they already know me. And I just got here. Like,
fantastic.
What a cool experience. So with the camp, so it's a 5-day intensive. And one of the biggest differences with the camp, though, is that you're getting a lot of perspectives. So we'll bring in a few different coaches. Like at the last camp I did, I brought in 2 affiliate coaches. My friend April Billingsley and I were basically co-instructing. She was in she was recurring on a TV show called Resurrection that was around last season on ABC. And she's one of the busiest working actors in Atlanta. She's phenomenal. And so we'll work together. But then in addition, we bring in different industry pros.
That is so cool.
Yeah, casting directors, agents, managers, and we'll bring – so then they're just getting all these different perspectives. They're working their scene all week, you know, and it's great too because they'll work their scene for casting director A and they'll say, hey, I really want you to do this. And then next thing you know, casting director B will say, don't ever do that.
I love that.
And that's
so
the best.
So true.
Yeah, and so we try to tell these kids, and that's one of the things we make sure we focus on. We let them know, hey, you're going to get a lot of different perspectives, and often they are going to directly conflict.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's one of the things I love to say when I do my seminars is, if anybody tells you they know exactly what to do, they're lying.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just not true. I mean, that's why I tried to include all these different points of view in my book. It's like, you know what? There is no one right way to do this. End of story. Right. No one way. There's a bunch of different ways. There are some wrong ways, probably.
there are definitely wrong ways. Yeah, and I think that you get as many good perspectives as you can, and then you make an educated guess, and then of course, and then when all is said and done, you follow your instincts because I'm a huge proponent of instinctive acting, and I always let my actors know that your instincts are stronger than anything, and they are more accurate to truth and what we're looking for. So I think one of the things I try to do is, how do you get you out of your way so you can listen to your instincts and have faith in your instincts and what you're doing? So, you know, with Camp Catapult, yeah, that's a big thing, just getting all these perspectives. And of course, you know, it's fun too.
Fun,
you know,
is important, especially if you're a kid. But for all of us, fun is important.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm. You know, so far, I think in my 20s, at some point, I said, you know, I think I'll probably grow up in my 30s, and now I'll be 38 in September, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to grow up.
It may not happen at this point.
and I think, you know, my friend John DiAquino, it's how we connected. He said, you know, I think a lot of the great coaches the people that work with young actors, especially, they're a kid at heart. You know, and I think I am a kid at heart, and I like to have fun, and I want to make sure that while we push ourselves and always strive to reach a higher level of excellence, we also have fun throughout the process. Yeah, you know, it's funny because one of my more successful clients, it's a girl named Caitlin Nacon, and she's on The Walking Dead, and she was in a magazine recently, and they said, "What's the best advice you ever got?" And she quoted a very simple piece of advice that I gave her. She said, my acting coach, Eric Lingball, and he said this: have fun, do your best, forget about the rest.
Man, if that could just be printed everywhere in every audition room all across the country, that would help everybody so much.
Right? I mean, people are so – I mean, you have these kids that come in that are like – so scared, and it's impossible to have fun. And mom is probably, you know, you've got mom saying to them, "Hey, look, make sure you do this and do this and do that." And then, you know, I find these parents where they're like, "Oh, well, gosh, if we could just get a booking, and, you know, I just, you know, we get these callbacks, we don't get a booking." And I'm going, dude, like, it is a process, and you got to enjoy that process and have fun in that process. And so for me, and everything I preach to my actors, I try to live it. You know, I mean, I want to have fun. And if I find myself, if I'm doing, you know, if I'm working on a project, or if I find myself doing something within my industry and I'm not having fun, I say to myself, it's time to switch it up.
Yep.
You know, I want to have fun. And so I think that's an imperative part of the process.
So switching gears slightly, but really it's always about auditioning and acting at some level. What do you think are some of the biggest differences between theater acting versus film and television acting? And what are some similarities? Because people are really confused about this. And I personally have heard every single different thing about it. Most of the directors and casting directors I've ever spoken to feel that, you know, theater training is ideal, is fantastic for film and TV. I've heard a few people say they think otherwise. But when you're doing auditions, your approach is going to be different if you're doing theater or film or TV, isn't it? A little bit?
Absolutely. I think it's definitely different. I think you almost have to look at it like, I compare theater and TV film acting the same way I might compare you performing musically on a stage or whatever as I would to acting. I think they're almost like a different genre, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it like this. Theater, now this is a podcast, so people can't see me.
No, but I will, you're waving your hands a lot.
I'm a big hand guy. Yeah, yeah.
It's too bad they can't see this.
Yeah, I know. If only maybe, you know, we'll figure out a way. We'll show a picture of mine. But so I think about it like this. So theater, and what I'm doing now is spreading my arms very wide. That's theater,
big.
Right?
It's
yeah,
big.
Theater, right? And because you are playing to a huge audience.
Yeah.
So you've got to be. So theater is out here with your arms spread wide. And then on camera is now I'm bringing my hands where they're literally touching.
Yes.
And I'm making a small circle, and TV film is there.
You're framing your face right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Framing my face, because that's what needs to be understood. So then the question is, a common question is, well, is theater, does it benefit TV film acting? I think it definitely does. And here's why. Because my experience has been the actors that are the best actors I work with have done theater. Because first of all, here's a huge problem with a lot of the young actors I meet. I can't understand half the words that are coming out of their mouth because they haven't figured out how to enunciate.
And project.
Project. I have some actors where I go, I get it. You know, we're on TV film. But dude, you can't whisper throughout your audition.
I say that on sets sometimes with kids that I know there's no way they've done theater.
Right.
It's
right.
Crazy
and,
making.
And they don't know how to hit. They don't know how, you know, with these kids that have never done theater, I find it. They don't know how to enunciate. They don't know how to project. They don't understand movement, their bodies. So the one thing I love about theater is when I get a theater actor, they understand those elements. Mm-hmm. They hit their T's. I can understand the difference between got and God, you know, and I can, and their D's and their T's and they understand those elements. So I think theater is fantastic for that. I also think that theater is so fun. You know, theater, I mean, nobody gets into theater and says, I'm going to do it for the money. Right? Nobody. Not even Broadway.
It's a good filter that way, isn't it? It's like you have got to be doing it for the love or you just wouldn't be there.
You've got to do it for the love. So I think that theater is great. I think theater can help actors. I do definitely come across kids who, where they've done so much theater, we've got to tone that down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I never like to think of it like, I never want to pull the theater out of them because that theater is great. I look at it just like, imagine, you know, you've got a switch that goes from 1 to 10, right? You've got a knob. And so 10 is that theater level where you've got a full audience. So I want to keep that same level of intensity. I want to keep that same level of passion and heart and those elements that make the theater actor great. And all I want to do is just kind of turn the volume down and just go from these hands spread and bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
And let that intensity, instead of coming through all of the body, right through your eyes. So just take all that energy and just funnel it right through your eyes, because then those theater actors that can do that, oh, it's amazing. It's amazing, you know, and I love that. And most of the adult actors I work with and who I've learned from, and most of them did theater. And so I think theater is very beneficial. But again, the biggest difference being it's more exterior versus mm-hmm. interior.
Mm-hmm. Because the camera can pick up stuff that you just cannot pick up on stage.
Sure. Yeah. And not to mention, it kind of hates a lot of the stuff that the stage picks up.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean? You know, it hates a bunch of movement. It doesn't like that. It says, hey, calm down. I want the eyes. So
unless you're doing Disney Channel.
Right. Well, you know,
that's a whole other conversation.
Well, that is, and I mean, well, you know that world all too well. But obviously, I mean, I would say, oh my gosh, how many Disney auditions have I? Because when I first started coaching, a lot of the agents in town realized that because I have this crazy level of energy, which I don't know where it comes from. It's been with me since I was like 3, and it's just there. And so because I have this high level of energy, when these kids have these Disney auditions, I'm a go-to coach for a lot of the agents in Atlanta. And that those Disney auditions, I mean, over 1,000 Disney auditions between Disney, Nickelodeon, what have you. But those Disney auditions are, yeah, I mean, definitely the theater actors, I would say that does benefit them quite a bit. I would imagine, and you would probably be able to tell me better, most of the kids who do Disney stuff did theater.
That's exactly right. In my personal experience, my sort of unofficial, you know, noticing over time, most of them do have some kind of a theater background. And there's a misunderstanding about that too. I mean, Disney's not like, you know, volume's not up to 100, you know. It's not quite as big and crazy as I think people think it is. They, especially now, I think they're moving more and more towards something that feels more realistic in terms of the performances than maybe it was a few years ago.
I will say that is a lot of the feedback that I have seen from casting directors,
mm-hmm.
is not being so over the top, bringing it down a little,
Yeah, making it more relatable.
But then again, sometimes then I go and then I see the kid they cast for the show and he's like completely crazy
over larger than life. I know.
Right.
It's like, great. Okay.
Right.
You say you want a more realistic, but who did you cast?
Right. Exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just like anything. It's always changing. You do your homework. You try to see who the director is, what types of projects they're working on. You understand the genres and if you're a theater actor, you learn sometimes to tone it down. But still don't lose that energy. And again, I think it all just comes, you know, one of my favorite things, this is kind of my, I always find like a, my favorite Lingvall thing to say, right? My go-to now is if you really listen to the moment, it will tell you exactly what to do.
I love that.
And so I think then if you follow that sort of that idea, if you think about that idea, if you listen to the moment, it will tell you exactly what to do. Then it doesn't really matter whether you're a Disney kid, whether you're a dramatic actor, a comedic actor, a theatrical actor, you are playing each moment based on the moment,
the truth of that moment,
right? And yeah. So then what do we come all, what we always come back to, that listening and that being present. One other little fun element to every one of my classes, and we do this at camp, is actually we meditate at the end of every one of my sessions.
I love that. I'm not sure I've ever heard of that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. We do a short meditation, right? It's not like some 45-minute meditation.
What am I paying for, Mr. Yeah. Lindvall? We can meditate at home.
My kid said he just slept, you know, right? But I do find, you know, we'll do a few minutes at the end of every class, and these kids really dig it. They love it. And I think it's such a great thing, because how are you possibly gonna be in the moment and be present if you've never practiced being present? Being in the moment. And so we do that at the end of class, and it's pretty neat to see some of these kids. And, you know, of course, being in the industry that we're in, you know, ADD, ADHD or whatever. I mean, some of these kids are so high energy, so that when they can learn how to just be present and be in the moment, it's really neat. It's really neat. That's another kind of cool, fun element to our classes.
That is super cool. Well, this is so fun, and I'm already like way behind on my questions, but I want to go a little more into auditioning, you know, because auditioning is really its own skill set, right? And if you're going to actually get anywhere in the business, you need to be good at auditioning. Do you have any particular advice for young actors who are approaching an audition, you know, walking into that room?
Yeah. Everyone's going to have a different idea of technique and this and that and the next thing, right? Number one, I would say less is more as long as your less is compelling.
Ooh, man, you got some good quotes here today.
Well, you know, I do this for a living. So, I love to tell them, because again, it's not about being, you know, a zombie, but it's about finding a way to not push it, but being so still in that moment and so in that moment, that if you can do that as an actor in front of the camera for an audition, I think it's a very powerful thing. I have a few actors who I work with. One comes to mind. There's a kid named Brandon Spink, and he played a young Batman. And I actually got to work with him, tape him, coach him for that audition.
Wow.
before they flew out to LA. And, this kid, he's in Mother's Day coming up, and he's done a variety of projects. He was just in Miracles in Heaven. He has this ability, along with some of my other actors. Another girl, her name's Elizabeth Hunter. She's great. She just has this ability. Another kid, Owen Vaccaro, who I've talked to you about before. Some of these kids, they just come in, they have an ability to just be so in that moment. And so I would say, as far as auditioning is concerned, take your time. Be there, be present, establish your environment. You know, so often kids audition to finish.
Ooh, like a horse running for the barn. I think you're so right.
Yeah, yeah. I love to say, okay, when we say action, which I actually don't say action. I never say action. I always just say, all right, whenever you're ready. All right, or I'll say, what is it? I think Robert Altman, he always says, all right, let's play. I've heard that before. But when we do say that and the camera's rolling, it's not a starting pistol.
You're not up to the races. Yeah,
it's like, okay, whenever you're ready, you know, and I try to say that to the actor. I say, take your time. And I say, remember, whose time did I say? I said, your time. Right. And so there's something so appealing about an actor when they're auditioning and they get in front of that camera and they just feel like, hey, all right, whenever we're ready. And that is I think that's a great tip for actors, to just be in that moment with auditioning, be present, be connected. If they can do that. And then another a little trick I think is, be distinctive in any way you can. So I read a great book called Create Distinction, and it's a marketing book. But if you changed around some of the words, it could very well be an auditioning book. And one of the things that stood out was, if you're distinctive enough, no one can be better than you.
Ooh, I like that.
If you're distinctive enough, and they talk about something like Apple, right? Apple's not the cheapest. It's probably not the fastest computer anymore. They don't have touch screens like a lot of the, you know what though? But they're so distinctive, it doesn't matter. You know, if you look at someone like a Robin Williams, who for me, by the way, was my idol as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I found out, I met him twice because I grew up in the Bay Area. Once when I was a baby and he actually picked me up.
No way.
And he did the Nanu Nanu. and then I met him again when I was like 6 years old. I saw him walking down the street and I ran up to him and I said hi, because he was just like, I loved Robin Williams because he was like this crazy person and like he was making a living being crazy. And so Robin Williams. But can you imagine saying to someone, okay, I want you to be better than that? Because there's no better.
That's just right. That. Yeah. Or so, not that.
So you be distinctive, right? And then so how can you be distinctive? Well, it doesn't mean you come in and you don't try to do something that's not you, but you just be so you. You be so you that inevitably you are distinctive because there is no other you. So you embrace who you are. You allow that to shine, right? That thing that makes you distinctive. And then you share that unapologetically, wholeheartedly. And then when you have that level of distinction, well, then what's great about it is, if I'm looking at a whole bunch of auditions, I might go, oh, she's this, he was this, whatever. But this kid, what? There's just something about this kid, you know? And the reality is, that kid was just different. That kid was distinctive. And so, you know, I mean, casting directors are looking at, you know, let's say 50 to 100 taped auditions after they've already gone through 1,000 submissions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I'm looking at 100 of the same thing over and over and over. If you can be distinctive, if nothing else, I'm going to remember it, even if it's subconsciously.
Yeah, and I may call you back for the next role, even if this one's not quite the right fit, because you made such an impression.
And I, the casting director, I might not even know why. But you, the actor, if you know you're always being distinctive, that's a big one too. So, you know, I don't think there's a magic bullet. I've sat in, learned from, worked with some phenomenal instructors. And I think, I everybody's got their take on it. And there's little things you can do to give yourself a little edge here or there, little things. But I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to really being in that moment and embracing your authenticity and unapologetically sharing that. And then if you can do that over and over and over, it's just like anything. I mean, consistency and repetition, right?
Yep.
It's like, you want to get better? Well, practice. Do it a lot. Do it all the time. You know, I learned how to play tennis with a wall, a racket, and a ball. That's literally how I learned how to play tennis. And then eventually I got good enough where I could play on my high school team. I mean, so it was, I think it's if you want to get better at auditioning, practice auditioning. Set up a camera. I always tell parents of actors, the best gift you can get a young actor is a camera and a tripod.
Yep.
Set it up and let them run script.
Well, and then watch themselves. I mean, so many actors are like, oh, I can't watch myself. It's like, are you nuts? You are missing the biggest opportunity to learn about what's working and not working about what you do. I honestly think part of what has worked so well with Dove is that she would just rapidly watch her own work on film over and over again, even audition tapes, to figure out, like, is this reading? Oh, I thought this was reading. It's not. It's not showing up the way I thought it was. Or like, oh, that really worked, you know. It's like football players watching themselves on tape. Hello? Sports people know about – sports people, listen to me. I know so much about it. Athletes know about this. Why can't actors take a page from the athletes?
No, but you know, you're totally right. Whether you want to call them athletes or sports people, whatever works for you. I bring up Peyton Manning, I would say, almost every day in one coaching session or another. And I love Peyton Manning because he wasn't the fastest. He didn't throw the ball the hardest. He didn't, you know, but he studied this game more than some might argue than any player ever in history. And he would watch every defensive play against with the defense he was going against, and he would dissect it. He would go through it with a fine-tooth comb. So then when he got into the game, he didn't have to think, because he already had studied it so specifically, right? And specificity, by the way, that's another important one for actors, being specific with what they're doing. But when you think about that with an athlete like Peyton Manning, he just outstudied everyone. So when a defender was trying to defend one of his receivers, he knew what the defender was going to do before the defender did it. So he just knew the game so well. And I love to hear that Dove did that. And of course, it makes total sense because she understood, how am I possibly going to get better if I can't watch this thing that I want to do and be critical of it?
Yeah, and get it and get what's working and not working. And eventually, if you do that enough, you internalize it. You do not have to think about it. It's just instinctive, like Peyton Manning.
Absolutely. Like Peyton Manning, yeah.
So we've been talking about auditions. But as you note, like in Atlanta, most auditions at this point are tapes because, you know, the casting is occurring probably in Los Angeles. And that's the case for so many people all across the country, including even a lot of people in LA, because sometimes they still ask for a taped audition even when you're here. Right. So any specific special advice for taped auditions? Because it's not the same when you're not in the room.
Yeah. It is tricky, you know. So I started acting when I was 21 and primarily doing commercial stuff. But at that time, as I mentioned before, I'll be 38 in September. I mean, we're talking, this was a while ago, you know, my headshot was black and white. And not that they didn't have color printers, but they, you know, everyone's headshots were black and white. But we got to go in the room and they got to feel your energy, right? You got to do that. Now you don't get that opportunity. I think one of the biggest things to think about with a taped audition, and this is something I don't know if enough actors think about, and I've heard this numerous times from casting directors. And so when I hear something enough times, while it may not be the end all be all, I do know that chances are this is something you should listen to. And casting directors will say, I assume you had 100 takes to do this.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're in the room, I mean, you know, I know you're right, but I assume because you taped this, this is your best out of 100. Uh-huh. So make sure that when you submit that tape, it should never, your response to your tape should never be, oh yeah, that was pretty good. That was good. It should be, I cannot do better. That is the best I could possibly do. That tape is phenomenal for what I am capable of doing. Because I think that's a big problem with taped auditions. What taped auditions has done is has kind of created a lazy actor. Because, you know, we get to tape people all the time. And they'll come in, they don't really know their lines. They'll finally get their lines together after three-fourths of the way through us trying to get this product out there. And I'm going, I can't imagine walking into a casting director and not even knowing my lines, not even knowing any of my choices, not even knowing – having any – I don't even – there's actors that come in and I go, oh, yeah, okay, which project is this for? And they're like, oh, I don't – you know, I'm not sure. I think it's like a TV show or –
They're paying for a session.
I'm going, what? And so, you know, and it's mind blowing, but I think what it's done is it has enabled lazy actors to do this more. So what I would say with your taped audition is one thing is either A, get a really great setup in your house with great lighting, and you can get great lighting for a decent price. And you know, everybody says this, but have it look really solid. Make sure the audio is good. The reader is really important. And also make sure that you're really happy with the final product. You know, because now that tape is your representation of what you're capable of doing. You know, you don't get to meet that casting director and show your personality. So I would say with those taped auditions, I always also with a taped audition, I like to mix it up. Like we do crazy stuff with our taped auditions. Like I'll give you a quick example. We had a client who was on House of Cards and she was supposed to be kidnapped. Now, I'm allowed to talk about this now because it's come out. But before the episode actually came out, like you're not allowed to tell anyone anything, right? You know? But now that it's come out, and the kid was kidnapped, and I'll put it to you like this, we basically kidnapped the kid. If you saw this kid in the audition, you would think this video was of a kid who was kidnapped the way we set it up. And let me tell you what, we submitted that audition, her agent submitted it. 7 minutes later, casting reached out and asked if she was available. And they had a whole day of casting the next day.
They didn't bother.
She booked it. And by the way, but here's the other kicker with tape. I can't tell you how many clients have booked straight off tape. I have a client that booked what's now a 3-picture deal straight off a tape, never meeting anyone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's happened with countless clients. So, you know, before you might book a commercial off a tape or you might book a one-liner. Now you're booking substantial roles just off a tape. So, you know, get really good at it, I guess is what I would say. Get really good at those taped auditions. And one of the best ways to do that is just, again, through repetition and consistency. But making sure when you submit your tape, you can truthfully say to yourself, that is the best I could do. That is the best.
Give yourself the time to get to that place. Don't give yourself 15 minutes.
Sure.
So, we may have to have a second podcast interview. This is like so fun and there's so much to talk about. But before we start wrapping up, I want to just check in with you about parents. You know, you've inevitably dealt with a lot of parents through all your work coaching young actors, right? Any advice for those parents who are just trying to help their young actor succeed in the business? It's a tricky thing. The parent's not the actor, but the parent's kind of making the decisions and steering the ship. Any advice for them?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I will say to parents, if you want to be the parent, if your kid wants to get into this and you are going to be the parent, a stage parent, and I always try to tell parents too, you know, I love this one from parents when they come up to me and they say, well, just so you know, I'm not like one of those parents. I'm not a stage mom.
I'm right? not crazy.
And, yeah, I'm not a stage parent. And what I tell these parents is, you are.
Yeah, actually.
Your kid, if they're an actor, you are the parent of the kid, then you're a stage parent. Mm-hmm. So it's not about not being a stage parent. It's about being a good stage parent or a great stage parent. You know, and I have a friend of mine who's a phenomenal manager. She's with a management company called Primary Wave now, and her name's Margo Menzel. And I remember I've known her for quite a few years, and she said to me, you know, I kind of have – she came to a camp I did out in California, the acting camp, which has been on hiatus for a couple of years, but we'll probably be bringing that back as well. And one of the parents said, well, what can I do to be a great parent, right? Mm-hmm. What can I do to be – so she said, well, I look at it like this. There's basically three categories of parents, right? She said, I've got the parents – I've got the parents who are just kind of there, right? They're not difficult per se to deal with, but they're also not necessarily proactive and whatever. And you know, they're fine, right? And then she said, then I have the parents who I literally loathe every conversation. Like I have to take a deep breath and I'm like, okay, here we go. And if this kid, you know, this kid, these kids, if this kid wasn't as talented as they were, it wouldn't be worth it because the parents, some of these parents, they're so hard to deal with. And then she said, but I also have these parents who I love, you know? And she said, and I have these parents where they're on top of it. And when I need to reach them, I can. And if I leave a voicemail, they get right back. If I send an email, they're on top of it. If something needs to happen, the kid is in classes, they're doing what they need to do. And she said, those types of parents, she said, honestly, I want to fight for the kid because I love the family so much. And so for parents, what I would say is, A, get educated about the business. You know, read a book like Hollywood Parents Guide, you know. and honestly, I'll with the utmost sincerity say this. I read your book. And it's the best book I've read for parents because it gives so many good perspectives about so many elements of the industry. And so I would say, you know, get educated about this industry, get great perspectives, learn about it, build a great team around you.
That's huge.
Have a great team, and that team will consist of the acting coach, the agent, the manager, you know, and then when they get to a place like Dove, I mean, PR, all of these, you know, businessmen, all of these, build a great team around you. But also really make sure you communicate with your kid. You know, that to me is probably the most important part because this is such – oh, it can be such a grueling industry. I mean, you know it all too well. I mean, it is – because at the end of the day, in the eyes of many of the quote-unquote decision makers, your kid's a commodity. You know, they're a product, unfortunately. So I think for the parent, it's so crucial to communicate with that kid, make sure they're enjoying the process as much as the product at the end. Make sure they're enjoying that journey every step of the way, because if they're not having fun with this and you're not checking in to make sure that they are – then go do something else.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, while this is a business, and of course there are those elements, it should be fun. It should be a process that these kids love to do. And I'm not saying like. I mean, at the level I work at, you know, when we're talking about TV, they should love it. They better love it. You know, and sometimes they love it, and then they fall out of love.
Yes. People don't talk about that, but it's true.
Absolutely. You know, they may love it, love it, love it, and suddenly they don't love it. So I think communicating with your kid and making sure that you are there to champion them, and it's not pretty. And the stage parent, as you know, aside from an agent, is one of the most underappreciated positions out there.
Invisible, right? Except when we're not in the worst way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I want you to always be available, Bonnie, but never ever be seen.
Or recognized, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Be totally out of the way, but always there when I need you,
exactly.
Right? And so you have to know that going into it as the parent. It's not, you know, it's not this pretty thing. But when you get to see that kid succeed and love what they do and do it well, well, then, I mean, I think it's all worth it. But it does just come back to that communicating with your kid and making sure that they are where they need to be. And I would say for parents, that's the most important thing. So
I love that. I love that you wrapped up on that. So can you share with us any upcoming projects? We have a project happening together.
We do. Yes, we do. Yeah. I would say for me, one of the most exciting projects I've ever been a part of is the one that we have coming up together. And I guess I'll touch on that one at the end. We have Camp Catapult coming up in July, which is going to be fantastic. We have a new improv class that we're doing that is amazing with our in-house improv guru, Julia Jones. And, you know, running an acting studio, that's been one of the coolest parts is outside of being a coach, I run an acting studio and having these new instructors come in and seeing the seed grow and grow is amazing. And the collaborative effort is fantastic. So we've got the camp. Obviously the big one is going to be the art of successful stage parenting. And that is with you, Bonnie. And I am really excited about that event, that seminar happening June 25th.
Yep.
And because like we were just talking about with the parents, you know, I don't really care how talented your kid is. If you as a parent don't understand what you need to do, I don't think their chance of success is very good.
Well, that's the sad thing. And that's part of why I'm so excited about doing the seminar with you, because if the parents can be educated, then the kid has a shot at it, you know, however talented they are. But the more talented they are, the more tragic it is if the parents don't know what they're doing. So
absolutely,
it's this amazing opportunity where the two of us are coming together and basically throwing it all out there. You know, everything we can think of that a parent might need to know to be a really great leader for their kid in this industry. And it's the first thing of its kind that I'm aware of. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I truly am more excited about this event than just about any event I've ever done, because I think, you know, I say, like, you're this yin to my yang in this sort of, or yang to my yin. I don't know. I should probably learn.
I'm the yin. You're the yin.
Are you? Okay. Fair enough. And I'll learn what that means at some point. But point being, I think that we're bringing these two perspectives together as the guy who's worked with tons of kids, thousands of kids now. You know, I was trying to calculate how many coachings I've done over the last 5 years, but all of these different perspectives from kids that are just starting. You know, I have a girl who I just started working with, who I worked with her one time, and I went to mom and I said, this kid's amazing. Like, she's one of these kids where I go, this kid, but she's never done anything. And so kids like that, all the way to kids like, you know, like Brandon Spinko was talking about earlier, who plays young Batman. I mean, doesn't get much bigger than that, right? And so I have all these perspectives, but you have this totally different perspective that is just as valuable, yet just a completely different, you know, I guess a different pair of glasses, if
different
you will,
lenses.
Right?
We bring different lenses to it, to the same conversation, which is just so cool because they're really complementary.
Totally.
It's going to be amazing. So that's coming up pretty soon, June 25th in Atlanta. I'm flying out to where you are to do that. And where can people find out about that?
Yeah, everything is catapultacting.com. We're big on the old social media, you know, via the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. We're always all over that. Social media is so funny.
So people can find you with various permutations of Catapult Acting.
Yeah, so we're at Catapult Acting for Twitter, for Instagram, facebook.com/catapult. If you just Google Catapult Acting, we will come up, and check us out.
Love it. Love it. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this Hometown to Hollywood podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe and tell your friends so they can listen too. This episode was sponsored by my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, which you can find on Amazon. If you like my podcast, you'll probably also enjoy my blog at hollywoodparentsguide.com, where you can subscribe for free and get new information every week to help with your own journey. See you next time.